Hello, and welcome into another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our Week 8 betting preview here today. We recorded our Week 7 recap last night, looked at a few lines that we liked, but since we were going to be go ahead and recording the next night, we didn't get too far into the weeds there on these games. Cody, how are we looking at the Week 8 slate so far?
It's looking pretty good. I feel like there's a couple of games that I can just completely take away that I just don't like either side or total of, which kind of helps narrow it down to, you know, maybe down to eight games that I kind of like. And then from there, it'll be just fine tuning the final five. So for where we're at in the week right now, I feel pretty good. But, it's for the past couple of weeks, it's been narrowing it down from the eight I like to the five I put in that have, you know, I've left a couple winners out there and took a couple losers and put them in. So just got to try and fine tune that a little bit and find the games that will hopefully bring in the money. But how do you feel about the Week 8 slate so far?
Kind of feel the same. I mean, yeah, no buys really helps. Obviously, you just have more options to choose from. I think I'm in kind of the same boat as you, where there are a few games I'm basically just not even looking at right now, whereas I'd usually have at least a lean on basically everything just in case I find an edge by it, on it by the time we move to Saturday, whether there's some line movement or whatnot. But in this case, yeah, there are like three or four on this board that I'm just like, no, thank you. I have no interest in really even paying attention to this one from a betting perspective. But before we jump into the Week 8 preview, I have been working on a little project for the podcast, tracking down all of our bets from the time we started in 2022 until now. I have accumulated the pod's total record accurately. It was slightly off from what we had been listing, but actually in the negative direction, it was one or two units too. So it really wasn't that big of a difference. Overall, I'm going to give you the overall score of the pod, and then I'm going to quiz Cody on what he thinks our most profitable venture is between favorites, dogs, overs, and unders. Overall, the pod is 170, 140, and 10. Beautiful, even numbers all the way through. I thought that was pretty sweet since I had just finalized this this week. But up 16 units, if my calculations are correct overall. So if you tailed us from the beginning, you'd be up pretty decently. And that's even including this year that we've been struggling a little bit at 32 and 38. So even considering that, still massively over the 500 mark. But Cody, what do you think is our most profitable bet between overs, unders, favorites, and dogs?
So I'm just going to go with probably the one we've bet the least, and it's probably paid out for us a little bit. So one that we don't bet a lot on this podcast, but I feel like we've, when we do call our shot, they hit quite a bit. And I'm just going to go with the overs have been the most profitable.
You are right on the money, Cody, and you're correct in that they are the least bet, and that may have something to do with it. But 19-11 as a pod on overs since 2022, yeah, good call there. Only 30 overs between our 320 podcast bets, so we sparingly go there. But when we do, we have good reason. 63.3% hit rate on those overs. 19-11 will get the job done. So we have been. I don't know if that means we should try to squeeze more in. I feel like that percentage might start falling. But when we identify an over we like, we usually hit it. Cody, what do you think? Just rank the rest of them for me.
Yeah, so overs number one. And then just with the way that betting has gone the past 2.5 years, I'm going to go favorites at number two, underdogs at three, and then unders, probably the most bet, at least on my side, I'm going to take in the fourth spot.
So unders themselves are number two, and it's by a wide margin. So this is something I wanted to talk to you about maybe before this podcast started, is that over-unders are essentially carrying our profit completely as a podcast. Okay. Unders 39-24-1 as a podcast, 61.9%, just barely behind overs. And with a much larger sample size, I think that makes this our most profitable category, that being unders, just because we've thrown in, let me do some quick math here, 64 of them into our pod, and we've hit at a 62% rate. So with a pretty large sample size, that is a really nice percentage. Over unders total 58-35-1, 62.7 against the spread, 62.7% hit rate. That is carrying essentially all of our profit, like I said, because by the spread, It's been a little bit of a rough go this year, and I think that's kind of brought these numbers down. But we are 112, 105, and 9 against the spread. Only 51.6%, barely above 500 at this point. Favorites actually slightly higher than dogs. 44, 39, and 2 when betting favorites. Dogs are largest category by far, but our lowest profit margin by far as well. 68, 66, and 7 betting dogs overall as a podcast. I would have never guessed that. That is usually our favorite look, but it's been a struggle. And I think this year particularly has really helped bring that total down. As a podcast, we are 15 and 23 betting dogs so far this year. So if you were to take that out of that total, that would probably bump that up to a point where it's a little higher than the favorites, and it'd probably be right where we expect it to be. So it's been a really tough year for dogs, and that obviously makes a little bit of sense considering that. But I thought that was really interesting. So maybe, we might not want to force them in because, again, that could start, making us make some bad bets just because we're thinking about it. But if you like an under or an over, I think there's good reason here to maybe try to squeeze a few more of those in, especially just because they are about one third of our bets right now. You know, maybe we could push that up to like 40%.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that in mind, we will jump into the Week 8 preview, hopefully a little smarter than we were when we started this pod. We'll start out with the Thursday night game, Minnesota at L.A. Vikings 3-point road favorites here against the Rams, over under a solid 48 points. This stat means absolutely nothing, but I thought it was pretty interesting. A little wordy, so stay with me. Teams who are undefeated and then suffer their first loss of the year, that'd be the Vikings. And I think it's at least in Week 8, so it's not including, 1-0, 2-0, 3-0 teams. These are teams that have been at least 5-0 or 6-0 or further, who have to play on short rest after their first loss, are 26-8-1 to the over. Again, I don't think it means anything, but that is a ridiculous percentage. And then one more for you. Teams who have played the Lions this year, 0-4 straight up and 0-4 against the spread in their next game, 14-23 against the spread last three seasons. The Lions kind of becoming the new Niners for a couple years there. It was after you played the Niners, you always wanted to avoid that team because they were a little beat up. I think the Lions might be becoming that team for us now. So with that in mind, Cody, I don't have too much interest in this one. The over-under looks about right to me. That stat kind of keeps me off of taking an under, which is probably where I'd lean from a cap perspective, but the line seems about right too. I want to lean Minnesota, but right at 3 on the road. I think that's where I'd go, but definitely not strong enough to make my 5.
Yeah, and the fact you said about the week after the Lions probably scares me off the Vikings even more, but I'm right there with you. Yep. If we could get the 3 in the hook for the Rams, I'd be a little bit more interested, and if it was 2.5, I'd probably be a little bit more interested on the Vikings. So I think Vegas just has this number right, and yeah, the over-under, 48.5, I'm right there with you. I want to take the under as well, but I would take the under and – probably not my 5, but as just a bet on the game. But I don't know. Might just be a complete stay away from me. Might just maybe put like a little bit on Cooper Kupp over receptions or something here in his first game back or something like that. But as far as the lines in this game, probably staying away for Thursday night.
Yeah, I don't think I have much of a lean either. I'm not even going to try and talk myself into anything here. This is going to be a pretty good Thursday night game, though. I'd just say sit back and enjoy, maybe throw a little bit on the under if you really want some action, but we don't have a podcast lean that is worth a note here on this Thursday night game. So we'll just go to the Sunday slate. Green Bay at Jacksonville is going to be our first one. Packers 4.5-point road favorites here, over under of 50 points. Home dogs coming off a win of 14-plus points. That would be the Jacksonville Jaguars in this case. 36-21 against the spread the last 20 years. Usually a pretty good spot to back the Jags. I think this game's pretty interesting. This line's been coming down. It was Green Bay 5 when the week opened. It's at 4.5 on some books, even 4 on others. So definitely heading downward, even though bets coming in on the Packers. There is a little bit of a sharp lean on the Jags, but still more money on the Packers on the Action app, at least. So interesting to me that line's coming down. Cody, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, this is one of those games I just don't have a great feel for. Probably going to stay away from my 5 bets, but with the number, I think I'd want to bet the Jaguars, but the Packers passing game could just light this defense on fire and could just really take you out of this bet, really early on. But the Packers defense hasn't been that great either. I think my strongest lean is to the over 48.5. But as I've had two Packers overs that have fallen short just because of goofy reasons this year. So again, probably not making my five, but my strongest lean in this game is over 48.5. I just don't trust this Jaguars team enough to put them in my five. I do think that's the right side to be on, but like I said, you could look up and the Packers are up 21-0 and this Jaguars defense is just getting torched. So just staying away from the spread for right now.
Yeah, I think I like the Jags too. It's not going to be in my five. I'm interested in a money line bet on the Jags though. I think they might have found something here with Tank Bigsby. It was against the Patriots last week, so it's really hard to glean much from that. They don't have a great team overall, and especially their run defense has really struggled this year. But so has Green Bay. That's really where you've been able to beat them, is on the ground this year. If they lean into allowing Bigsby to run in between the tackles and have success with it, I could see them being able to, you know, maybe grind out a win here at home. But there's a lot of moving parts here, and I don't trust this Jaguars team enough, only catching 4.5 at home against a Green Bay team that, for being honest, on a neutral field, is probably a 7-point or so favorite against this Jags team. So I think the sharp lean is going to be the Jags. I might throw a little on the money line just in case this offense truly has found an identity with Bigsby, but I don't have enough conviction to get it anywhere near my five for this week. Do you have anything else on this one?
No, I will just say I think that if you do like the Jags, I don't think that they're a bad bet for other people out there. Like you said, when they have a good running game, whether it was ETN the past couple of years or what Bigsby has been, you know, really the past two games, it just gives them an identity that they typically can play behind. And Trevor Lawrence is a lot better with a run game in his career. So, you know, if they continue to give the ball to Tank and he continues to dominate, that's the recipe for the Jaguars. But again, like I said, just don't fully trust it enough. You know, need to see it another week, and then I'd be a little bit more back in on this Jaguars team.
Titans at Lions, our next game here. Lions 11.5-point home favorites, over under 45.5 here. I've got a few stats here for you. Detroit has not been this big of a favorite in 459 games. Last time they were this large of a favorite, 1996 versus the Bucks at home. Barry Sanders ran for 125 yards in that game. It's been a while since we've had a Lions team this good. Goff, as a double-digit favorite, all with the Rams, obviously, 6-4 against the spread, so he's been pretty good in this spot, although he's pretty good in basically any spot against the spread. Since 2022, the Lions in wins are 18-8 against the spread. So when they win, they usually cover, and even they cover in losses too, 10-4 in losses against the spread. Pretty incredible. And my last stat, I'll give a little bit of love to Titans bettors out there. Teams to close +9 or higher and lose ATS. That would be the Titans last week, only to be +9 again. The next week are 69-53-1 against the spread last 20 years. So pretty solid hit rate with a pretty large sample size. Regardless of that last one, I really like the Lions here at 11.5. Tennessee has started their sell-off. DeAndre Hopkins out the door to the Kansas City Chiefs. Ernest Jones as well out the door today to the Seattle Seahawks, one of their best edge rushers. So even less ammo here to go up against this Lions team. I'll feel a lot more comfortable if it's Levis. If it's Rudolph, I feel like, you know, that could lead to longer, more efficient Tennessee drives. I'm not necessarily scared he's going to light the scoreboard up, but I feel like he'll just make less mistakes and shorten the possessions in this game, which is never what you want with a big spread. But I think as long as this thing's under two touchdowns and Levis starts, it has a very strong chance of being in my five.
Yeah, absolutely. This is one that you had mentioned yesterday, so I knew that you were feeling pretty good about putting this one in your five. Another bet for you, double-digit favorites at home in the past 4 years are 54% against the spread, which is a pretty good edge for those backing the Lions. So that's another one there in Nick's favor. But yeah, I agree with basically everything that you said. I don't fear that this Tennessee team can keep this one close. Only way I feel like they lose this one against the spread is if you get a bad Jared Goff game and the Lions find a way to beat themselves. You know, this is one where you take them, you feel good about it, and then if they lose, we're recapping saying that the Lions outgained them by, you know, X hundred amount of yards and you know, this and this happened, but you know, that's it's a bad beat if they're gonna lose. If this game just plays out with how the Lions have been playing and how the Titans have been playing, the Lions should have no trouble covering the spread. So, like I said, I know it's going to be in year five. I don't know if I'm going to tail it with you in the in our five bets, but I will definitely put a little extra on this one if it makes it year five, because I do like the Lions minus 10.5 as well.
Yeah, I think it'll just depend on where the line is on Saturday. That'll be telling. It was at 11 yesterday when we talked, all already up to 11.5, so we'll see if it keeps climbing by the time we have to lock our bets in on Saturday. Next game here, Cardinals at Dolphins. Dolphins, 3.5-point home favorites, over-under, down to 45.5 here. Kyler, usually the spot you want to back him. 18-7-2 against the spread as a road dog. That's the sixth best mark of any QB since 2003, I think, with a minimum of 20 games. So pretty good stat there for Kyler. This is a good spot for him normally. But Cody, what do you think about this one? I'll throw it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a little bit in between on this game, but I think that there's a little bit of information that backs both sides. Obviously, you gave the stat about Kyler being pretty good as a home or as an away underdog. But kind of going against him here, Kyler has not won back-to-back games since week 11 and 13 of the 2021 season with a bye in week 12. Obviously had the injury that did take him out, but almost three whole years minus 1 year with the injury, still looking about 2 years worth of football games that he has not won back-to-back games. So that gives me just a slight lean on the Dolphins, at least a little bit, just because I don't fear that the Cardinals are maybe going to have a great chance at winning this game. And then also the Dolphins at home have been really good to bettors over the last two seasons, 13-7 against the spread. That I believe it actually would be 13-8 against the spread if you include their loss to the Bills in week two. But yeah, I don't know. I want to be on the Dolphins. I do think that Tua is going to come back and this team is going to be completely re-energized. They've basically just been playing useless football games for the past month. So I do think there's going to be some new life in Miami, but betting Tua off the injury scares me a little bit. And then my last thing that I did want to throw out there that, you know, isn't going to make a big difference, but when you have a spread this low, it could. Miami's kicker, Jason Sander, ranks 33rd among kickers this year, according to PFF. Reminder, there's only 32 teams in the NFL. While the Cardinals have two kickers inside the top 14. So, you know, if it comes down to a field goal here or there, you may feel a little bit more comfortable as a Cardinals backer. But again, I kind of like Dolphins minus 3.5. It's probably on the outskirts of my five right now, but I just think we're going to see a different Dolphins team than we've seen the past month and a half. And I think we're going to get the same old Cardinals that we've been getting for, you know, most of Kyler's career outside of that impressive winning streak that they had to start the 2021 season.
Yeah, it's the Cardinals for me. I get what you're saying about Tua at home. I just can't back him in his first start. That's just really it for me. What they do on offense for Miami relies a lot on timing and anticipation. Those are hard things to do when you have not played football in a couple months, let alone recover from a nasty concussion. I don't have a strong lean here. It'd be Cardinals or pass. I don't think I'm going to have it in my five just because the Dolphins are such an unknown to me right now with Tua coming back. Yeah. This is like something I feel very similar to this as the Jags game. You know, I just go ahead and play the Cardinals on the money line because if Tua isn't right, you're getting a nice plus price on this Arizona team that isn't great, but Kyler usually thrives in these spots as a road dog, and they're going to be pretty desperate to win this game. And if, like I said, if Tua's not right, this Miami team's not very good. I don't really believe in their defense, and you know, the whole offense is relying on Tua coming back and being the same player. So I think that's where I'd go. Just sprinkle a little bit on the Arizona money line, but otherwise I'll let Cody bet the 3.5 on Miami if he wants to take it.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, on the outskirts, and there's trends that go both ways in this one. And like you said, Taking Tua in his first game back is scary. I don't know. It's going to go one way or the other. It's either going to completely re-energize the team, and they're going to have a great game, or his timing is going to be off, and your bet's most likely going to be dead from the beginning. So, or it's going to feel dead from the beginning, at least. So, yeah, on the outskirts, probably need to dig into it just a little bit more. I did not know that Kyler stat coming into tonight, so I would say that kind of pushes me off the position at least a little bit. I did not know he was that good on the road as an underdog.
Yeah, to bolster your point a little bit, Dolphins up to 3.5 right now. It was 3 even though most bets and money coming in on the Cardinals. So line moving towards the Dolphins, even with the bets on the other side, usually not a great sign. Although the books have been getting killed lately, so maybe we don't even want to look at that. But something we normally don't love to see that on our bets. But we'll see what where this is at on Saturday. Philly at Cincy. Bengals, 2-point home favorites here, over under 48. The Philadelphia Eagles, still no first quarter points through 7 games. They gave the stat out last week. I'll probably keep hammering it until they score. Pretty pathetic stuff. Nick Sirianni, this is pretty interesting. 15-5 first half against the spread in the Super Bowl year. So in those 20 games, the Philadelphia Eagles, 15 times they covered the first half spread out of 20. The rest of Sirianni's career, only 15 wins in the first half spread, 15-27 beyond that one Super Bowl year. So maybe just a blip on the radar. This Eagles team has been pretty bad out of the gate under Sirianni other than that. And then Joe Burrow, very impressive Joe Burrow stat here. He has faced a team coming off an ATS cover 29 times in his career coming into this game. He is 22-6-1 against the spread in that spot, including 4-2 this season. So Joe Burrow, usually these overvalued teams that come off a cover, he ends up winning those games and covering those games at a really, really high rate. And I think that's where I'd go here. Cody, I'm going to throw it to you to let you give your opinion first, but that's definitely where I'm leaning.
Yeah, absolutely. That is also where I'm leaning. I just don't know enough about this Eagles team to trust them whatsoever. I will say, going into it before I was making my notes, I thought this was going to be a stay away game from me, just because I thought the Cincinnati defense has at least underperformed expectations. But when you go back and you look at the stats, they're not as bad as I kind of perceive them to be in my head. So I like the Bengals. Not completely sold on them. That Joe Burrow stat does help quite a bit, but I don't know. I just don't trust this Eagles team. I mean, obviously, they're coming off a massive win, so a kind of a good sell-high spot if you wanted to go fade the Eagles anyway. But I feel like you could throw most of last week away. I mean, the Giants put up no fight. The Eagles really didn't have to do much. Only threw the ball 14 times. I know we mentioned Jalen Hurts, I think, at 114 yards passing. They just didn't have to throw the ball. So, obviously, I think it'll be a little different against Cincinnati. So, I want to be on the Bengals minus 1.5, minus 2, depending on where you can get your line. But I feel a little iffy about this one, but I do think the Bengals are where I'll land.
I really, really like the Bengals in this spot. I think this basically just comes down to me trusting the Bengals offense a whole lot more than I trust the Eagles offense. Eagles extremely reliant on big plays right now. Really not sustaining drives very well, not converting third downs at a high rate. And on the other side, Joe Burrow's playing at a super, super high level. And at the end of the day, I just don't know what to think about either one of these defenses. Kind of an interesting note. Both of these teams on defense struggled really badly until the last 2 weeks. So the Bengals faced the Giants and then the Browns, only allowed 21 total points. The Eagles, the last 2 weeks, the Giants and the Browns, and they only allowed 19 points. So chicken or the egg there with the Giants and Browns. Not sure if that's the reason their defenses have turned the corner. Probably is. So at the end of the day, I think we've got two average to below average units on the defensive side, and then two offenses that are in the top half of the league for sure, top 10, top 5 when they're really clicking. But the Cincinnati offense is clicking, and they're at home, and the Eagles offense really isn't. I think that 28-point total they had last week was really inflated by how bad that Giants team was on offense. So I have a lot more trust in Joe Burrow and the Bengals right now. If it stays at 2, it's going to be really hard for this not to be in my 5. I'm a little scared that it came down from 2.5 to 2. I'm just going to have to do a little research into this game and see if there's some reason I'm not seeing right now that money's coming in on the Eagles. But for now, I'll take the shorter number, and I like the Bengals a lot in this spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ravens at Browns. Ravens, 9-point road favorites here, over under 44.5. Jameis Winston era has begun in Cleveland. Thank God we don't have to talk about Deshaun Watson anymore. Backup quarterbacks the last 2 seasons. I think this is pretty beautiful because this is almost exactly what you'd expect from backup quarterbacks. 56-56-6 against the spread. They are a complete wild card, and they're basically a coin flip when you're trying to bet the number on them. Lamar, 4-0 against the spread in Cleveland. Thought this was kind of interesting. Also 4-0 against the spread in Cincinnati. So in his career, 8-0 in Ohio against the spread. Pretty impressive. 0-3 in Pittsburgh, though. So still 8-3 on the road. in the division of the AFC North is pretty impressive stuff. I don't have with that backup QB stat in mind, I don't have a lean here. I think I'd be leaning Browns plus nine, but with Jameis Winston being Jameis Winston, I just there's always room for even a close game going towards Baltimore at the end if you know you throw a couple picks and you know they have some short fields to clean up at the end there. But one spot I really think I might like is an over here, which is weird to say,
yes,
AFC North battle.
Yeah.
44.5 seems very short. This Baltimore team is scoring at an incredible rate right now. Let me pull up their last couple games. I mean, they scored 20 in week one. That's their lowest total of the year. 23 the next week. Then 28, 35, 41, 30, 41 for this offense the last 5 weeks. Absolutely humming. And then the Browns, they have we've been clowning on their offense all season, haven't gotten to 20 points. The only team in the NFL or college that has not scored 20 points so far this year. So why would I want to bet an over? It's Jameis Winston, baby. It's completely different. Who the hell knows what he's going to be, but I do know what he is going to be, and that is either horrible or really good or some combination of the two. So I think we're going to get some offense both ways because of the way Winston plays the game. You know, pick sixes are great for us. Touchdowns are great for us too. So we just want Jameis to chuck it deep one way or the other. And that's going to work out for us for an over. So I think that's where I lean here right now. I need some more research here. This is just such a low number to me. I would expect this to be a closer to 47, 48. I think maybe it's just because it's an AFC North game. You know, those games typically go under, but I need to look into this more, but I kind of like this over a lot right now sitting here on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. The over is really the only strong edge that I have in this game. I kind of go both ways between the Browns and the Ravens, but for me, it's hard to back the Browns and Jameis. Like you said, it's basically a coin flip there. And then the Ravens, after they lost to the Raiders in week two, they have been 5-0 against the spread since. So there could be a little bit of regression to the mean coming for Ravens better. So that also slightly kind of puts me on the Browns, but not enough to put it in my five. But I will say I'm with you on the over. I did a little bit of research coming in. Cleveland and Baltimore are both top 10 in plays per game this season. So,
Ooh, that's awesome.
So both teams are, you know, trying a bunch. Now, granted, some of that could be the Deshaun Watson effect on the Browns side just because he threw so many incompletions that the clock was stopping a lot. But I do think that the Jameis side of it isn't going to factor that much. He'll throw quite a bit of incompletions, but actually probably move the ball a little bit as well. I'm leaning the over. And then also just a little bit of a side thing here. The Ravens have given up the most points in the second half this season. So, if you don't want to take anything for the full game, maybe see what the game looks like at halftime. And if you can get Browns, you know, plus a good number you feel good at halftime, I would consider taking that. You know, if the Ravens jump out and you can get Browns plus 20 or something at halftime, would not be a bad bet to take. But for right now, as we see here tonight, I'm just looking at over 44.5.
Yeah, another reason to like the over. I think a main reason they are that high in points allowed in the second half is probably because they're leading by so much at halftime.
Exactly.
A lot of times they're playing prevent, and teams are able to just kind of get some easy points on them while Baltimore's keeping things in front of them. So we will take any number of ways this thing could get over. I see a lot of them. And I like it a lot here sitting on Wednesday. I just need to do a little more digging on it. I like that note you had there, Cody, though. Jets at Patriots, our next game here. Jets 7-point road favorites here. Over under is 41. I wanted to get this note in here. I've seen a lot of people kind of making note of the fact that the Patriots are coming back from London without a bye in between their two games. Usually teams coming back from international games are allowed a bye in between their next game. In this case, it wasn't, the schedule makers couldn't make it work with the Patriots. A lot of times people like to fade those teams, but it's not necessarily a good idea when you look at the numbers. So teams playing a game without a bye in between coming home from an international game, 16-8 straight up, 13-11 against the spread. So the numbers don't really bear that point out. I just wanted to throw that out there because I've seen a lot of people mention it. The Jets also, this is a good Jets stat. They've scored 20 or less points in four straight games. They are the first team since the 2011 Texans to lay 7 points on the road after scoring 20 or less in four straight games. Cody, I don't know where you lean here. I kind of have a tough time getting to a side. I've already given out a few games I like so far, and I don't really want to force this one in. But do you have any leans here?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat that you are. You know, I feel like as a podcast, this is a spot that we would usually love to take the Patriots, but the Patriots are just they're a bad team. They're basically bottom five in all units. Their coach just called out the entire team for being soft. Not sure exactly how that's going to play, but just I don't know. Home divisional underdog. Right where you want to be. That's the kind of spot that we love to take, but they just haven't been panning out this year. This Patriots team's bad. You know, I'm just gonna let myself believe my eyes and just not want to back this Patriots team. So don't love either side. You know, I would maybe take the under 41.5, but you know, this could also just be a random surprise game where both teams find a way to get, you know, right around 20 points, maybe just north, and kill your over with a late touchdown or something. So going to stay away from this game completely. Would love to be on the Patriots, but just the way that this season has been panning out, got to stay away for right now.
Yeah, this line is just so weird. Why? It's 7 points. That is so big on the road. Or we had this game only 4 weeks ago. The Jets were at home against the Jacoby Brissett-led Patriots, and they were 6.5-point favorites. So now the Jets lose 4 straight games, go on the road to New England, and now they get an extra 0.5 point, even though they're on the road. It's very strange. It makes me I just don't really get it. And yeah, like you said, I don't love backing the Patriots. We've not had very much luck in these spots, just taking these big home dogs so far this year. So probably a stay away for both of us, it sounds like. Another divisional spot here, Falcons at Bucks. Falcons 2.5-point road favorites here, over under of 46. Kirk Cousins, I always like to give bad stats on him coming off a win, but I'll have to give him some credit here. Coming off a loss, he's the complete opposite, 40-26 against the spread in his career. Kirk Cousins loves to be the perpetual magic eight ball of the NFL, very much back and forth throughout his career. So this is a really tough read for me, Cody, personally. These divisional games, I don't have a great look on the spread so far, these last three at least. I like the over in that Browns-Ravens game. But other than that, I don't have much. What do you think here?
Yeah. Crazy enough, the line has moved a full 5 points from before Monday Night Football till right now. So that just tells you the amount of value that those two wide receivers, Evans and Godwin, put on this Buccaneers offense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think as long as it stays below a field goal, I think I'm taking the Falcons -2.5. You just gave a great stat for Kirk Cousins coming off of a loss. I think this is a tough spot for the Buccaneers. I mean, their run game has not been that good for basically the past two seasons. It's gotten a little bit of a spark with Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving emerging, but not enough of a spark that I'd feel comfortable with them leaning on it as their main source to produce offense. So don't necessarily love where the Bucks are right now. And then I think the Falcons are, you know, they're in the perfect bounce back spot, getting absolutely blown out at home last week. This should be a must win for the Falcons. And on top of all that, you know, they already won the first game against the Bucks. The Bucks are really the only team now in that division that they have to compete with. They get a win here, they'll have a 2-0 lead over the Bucks in the division and basically, you know, control their destiny for the rest of the season. So I think this is a great spot for the Falcons. And again, as long as it stays at a field goal or less, I'll be on the Falcons this week.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. That's probably where I'd lean as well. Tampa just kind of scares me from a capping perspective because I just don't know what to expect from this offense with no Evans or Godwin. It's going to kind of be a chicken or egg thing this week with the Bucs offense. We'll see if it's Baker or we'll see if it was really those two outstanding wide receivers kind of making things happen. But I don't have a ton of confidence in saying which is which, and laying 2.5 points on the road with Cousins, I don't love, even though he is off that bounce back spot, which he usually does well in. So we'll see what the number is on Saturday, but under a field goal, we'll see if Cody bites. Another divisional spot here, Colts at Texans. Texans 5-point home favorites, over under a 46. Colts 10-1-1 against the spread in Houston since 2013. They traditionally do very well on the road in Houston. I really like this game. We talked about it yesterday. I think both of us did, actually. That was at 6.5. I did tell you to grab it. I don't think we got it posted in time for that information to really sink in, though, unfortunately, because it flipped to 5 pretty quickly when I looked at it today. And it sits there now. Weird number. You don't usually ever see a 5-point line sit there just because it's not a key number. So usually bettors kind of make their claim and come in on one side or the other, and the book moves this line. But In any case, I'd still like Indy plus five here. I like it a little less than I did at six because it's a very key number, but it has a chance to be in my five if it stays here. I did like it a lot more at six, I'll be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Colts are the right bet on this one. You know, funny enough, CJ Stroud should be 0-3 against the spread against the Colts. The only game that he won was last year's basically game for the division where I believe Tyler Goodson dropped the ball from Gardner Minshew. That would have been
right.
Basically a walk-in touchdown that would have secured the Colts the division. So CJ Stroud does not play well against the Colts. They also have just not been playing very well overall this year. Only one blowout win, and that was against the Pats, who we talked about earlier, just one of the bottom five teams in the NFL. I will say I hate backing and betting on Anthony Richardson. It's not the easiest, but may just be one of those where you just take the number and the spot. You bet the Colts, and hopefully you don't have to watch Anthony Richardson too many times. Maybe he does what he did last game these two play and just throws a couple bomb touchdowns, and then that basically is enough to secure the win. But I think the Colts are the right side. It's still tough for me to bet on Anthony Richardson. I just have zero trust in him.
Yeah, I love this game when the week began, but there's just other games that have kind of emerged and this line has shortened. Those combination of things have kind of pulled me off of it a little bit. It's still on the back end of consideration for my five, but yeah, I won't reiterate a lot of what you said. I think on the Houston side, it's just this offense looks so different without Nico Collins. The run game has gotten going with Mixon, so that's good. Maybe they just lean on him, especially because he absolutely torched them the first time these two teams played in week one. So I could see that happening. But, this offense just does not look the same at all without its alpha number one wide receiver. So I don't want to lay 5 points with them at home. That's a spot that Stroud has really not done well in so far in his career as well. So we'll see where this line ends up. It has a chance to be in our five. Another one, if you want to sprinkle a little on Indy money line, I don't mind that. Saints at Chargers. Chargers, 7.5-point home favorites here, over under of 40.5 here. In the last decade, another one that's kind of wordy. I actually really like this stat, though. I think this actually holds some weight. In the last decade, teams that have allowed 26-plus points in four straight games are 51-76-2 against the spread in their next game. That's not the important part. This is the important part. The under is 84-45 in those games. So that would be the Saints. They've allowed 26-plus points in four straight games. It can kind of make some intuitive sense as well. You'd expect those teams that have kind of gotten blitzed on defense the past couple weeks to really try to shorten up the possessions and really readjust how they're playing their defensive game. And these two teams, at least on the Chargers side, they don't want to play an over game anyway. You know, they want to run the ball 60% of the time, and if they're winning, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. So I think I really like this under 40.5 here. As long as it stays at this point, I'd probably lock it in now. I could see this going down just because, again, with Spencer Rattler under center, they've gotten a good look at him the past couple weeks. It hasn't really been pretty. I think the Saints are probably just going to really simplify things and ask him to keep it short and run the ball out with Alvin Kamara. We'll see. But and then the Chargers on the other side, like we said, we know what they want to do. They want to run the ball like crazy, and that helps the under as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that's the only angle I would take at this game. I don't feel comfortable laying a full 7.5 with the Chargers. I don't feel comfortable doing anything with the Saints right now. I love that stat. I was going to say the Saints defense looked so bad that last week. Oh, I don't feel great betting on the under just because they were giving it up all over to Bo Nix and the Denver offense. But, Herbert's a great quarterback, some would say. I would say he doesn't have the rushing ability of Nix, and that's where Nix was really able to, get after the Saints, at least early on in that game. So, yeah, I think the under is open for me, but maybe not in my five. Probably going to have a bet on it, though, just because I don't expect to see a lot of stuff happening in this game.
Yeah, the Saints defense hopefully got some time to get healthy too. They were coming off a short week. That Thursday night game against Denver had a lot of beat up guys playing on 4 days rest. Pretty tough spot for them. They do get lit up on the defensive side of the ball, especially. But I think that Denver offense, it's not one you'd regard as a very good one. But I think this Chargers offense probably in about the same, you know, stratosphere in the NFL circle. I mean, they just don't have really any weapons that make differences on the outside. Dobbins has not been breaking runs like he was early in the year. So I think even if the Chargers find offensive success here, you know, you could still be looking at 24, 28 points. And I think we could still get to the under if, you know, if that's the case, the Saints offense against this good Chargers defense on the road. Yikes. Like, I don't really see how they get much past like 17 or so. Yeah, I think that's where we're leaning right now, is that under 40.5. We'll see where we end up. Bills at Seahawks. Our next one, Bills 3-point road favorites here, over under of 47. Josh Allen in his career, 4-1 straight up and against the spread in the Mountain or Pacific time zones. Geno, 3-8 against the spread at home since the beginning of last year. That is the worst of any current starting quarterback. There is one quarterback worse than him right now, not currently a starter. You want to venture a guess? Since the beginning of last year. So they were a starter last year.
Not a
starter. I'll give you a hint. He's Geno's teammate.
Oh, current teammate? I don't even know. I couldn't tell you Sam who the backup Howell. Is. Sam Howell. Okay, there we go. That's
Sam
right.
Howell. Sam Howell somehow managed to go 0-7-1 against the spread at home last year. Pretty incredible stuff. But in general, this is usually a spot you want to take the Seahawks. Historically, 25-15-1 against the spread as a home dog since 2003. Only 41 times in 20-some-odd years as a home dog is pretty impressive, and there's a reason for it. They usually cover in this spot. But where do you land here? I'll throw this one over to you because I want to kind of collect my thoughts on this one.
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me. I mean, I know that yesterday you had said that you were kind of on the Bills side of it. I think it's a good spot to take the Seahawks at home, but I mean, they just came off a massive win on the road in Atlanta, now traveling all the way back home for a pretty big game against the Bills this week. I just don't have enough confidence to back them. I actually kind of swung a little bit more towards your side and got a little bit more interested in the Bills as I kind of looked up the, you know, the way Geno has played at home over the past 2 years. So I'm slightly leaning on the Bills side of it, but giving up a full three traveling across the country for the Bills, I don't love it, but it's probably on the outskirts of my five. But I thought about it a little bit more than I was yesterday. Yesterday, I thought I'd be on Seahawks for sure, but now I'm more towards the middle, maybe leaning the Bills a little bit.
Yeah, I like the Bills here too. That Metcalf loss is huge, and I don't think that's fully reflected in this line yet. He's still questionable when you go look at the injury report, but he has an MCL sprain. It's a minor one, but even a minor MCL sprain, you know, you don't play that week. And if you do, you're going to be severely limited. So even a very hobbled DK Metcalf wouldn't really scare me off this. The problem here is I think this is going to be at 3.5 by the time we get there on Saturday. And there are going to be other games I like more if that's the case. But I'd lock in the Bills -3 now if you like them, because I think this price will only go towards the Bills once Metcalf is ruled out closer to the end of the week here. It's usually a good historical spot to take the Seahawks, but with Geno's struggles at home and the way this Bills team looked last week with Amari Cooper hopefully getting even more incorporated in this offense, just a really good matchup for them. Joe Brady wants to run the ball. I mentioned this yesterday. Obviously, he is one of the highest rush rates in the league. The Seahawks defense cannot stop the run to save their lives. They've been absolutely gashed the last 5 weeks on the ground. So I think this matchup is pretty good for the Bills, and I like the fact that their defense won't have to go up against Metcalf. At least not a 100% Metcalf if he tries to go. So I think I'd go Bills -3. I just think it'll be 3.5 by Saturday, so probably won't be in my five.
Yeah, totally understandable.
Panthers at Broncos. My Broncos, 10-point home favorites. Look at us go. Over-under of 42. Panthers, incredibly, 1-13 against the first half spread in their last 14 games. Outstanding stuff from Carolina. Bo Nix, he's been a road warrior this year. I said it last week, Cody. You actually followed my advice. I didn't for some reason. 4-0 against the spread on the road. Only 1-2 at home so far, though. 10 points. I don't even know where to begin here. I don't think there's – do we even want to talk about this game?
Nope.
I have no interest at all.
Nothing. Not betting on a Panthers game for at least 2 weeks. So
good.
Just staying away.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm going to need to have an intervention with you at some point if you keep trying to throw the Panthers in there. So we'll have to put them in we'll have to put them on the naughty list for a couple weeks and revisit maybe if things look better. Bryce Young starting in this game as well. That's why this is at minus 10 for the Broncos. Andy Dalton got in a car accident. He's okay, but he sprained his thumb. So he will be out of this game and maybe a couple more. So that's why we are at minus 10 for the Broncos. Bet the Broncos first half, apparently. Like I said, 1-13 in their last 14 games, and now Bryce Young's going into a hostile environment against a great defense. Good luck, kid. It's at minus 6 right now for the Broncos. I already bet it, so that's the only place I'd go here. Casey at the Raiders. We have another 10-point spread here in favor of the road team. Chiefs 10-point road favorites here, over under 41.5. The Raiders have fallen behind by double digits in each of their first 7 games so far this season. Fourth team to do that in the last 30 years. Not great company to have. Mahomes, I mention this a lot, but he struggles in this spot as a big favorite. 22-27-3 as a favorite of 7 or more in his career. Gets worse on the road. 5-10-2 on the road in this spot. Cody, I will go ahead and throw this one to you. I feel like I've been talking for a while, so tell me what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. And to kind of go a little bit further into your Mahomes stat, since 2020, which takes away his like kind of games where he was just lighting the world on fire, he's only 14-22 against the spread. Okay, easy. 14-22 against the spread as a favorite of more than a touchdown. So only 39%. It's a very strong trend to back the Raiders. A little bit surprised to see this number kind of tick up a little bit. I believe it was at 9.5 yesterday. I thought sharps and big money would be coming in on this Raiders team, but that's still the side that I'm going to be on. I watch every one of these Chiefs games very in-depthly. I don't feel comfortable taking them as, more than a touchdown favorite, just the way that this offense has looked. Obviously, we'll see what happens with D-Hop, but that's not going to be too big of a factor here week one with him. But also, the other thing, like on the Raiders, just because their team has been so just bad for the past couple of weeks, I feel like the O'Connell injury just frees up Gardner a little bit more. You know, Gardner's going to be able to go in there, just play his game, not necessarily have to worry about getting benched or losing his job the following week. So with that being the case, I think he could probably put up a solid performance. Obviously, a tough Chiefs defense. Did lose Jalen Watson, a really good corner. So that's, going to hamper him a little bit. But I just think Gardner can have a solid game. And then on top of that, the Raiders defense and their team in general just hates the Chiefs. This is basically their Super Bowl, and unlike the Chiefs Super Bowl they play in, they get to do this twice. So love the Raiders plus 9.5, plus 10. If it ticks up more, I might have to look into it and just see why pro money's coming in on the Chiefs. But as we sit here tonight, the Raiders plus 10 would be in my 5 for sure.
Yeah, I think you're getting some public hype because of the D-Hop trade. By the way, what did you think of that as a Chiefs fan? I haven't even asked you about that yet.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Like, I'm not overly upset with it. I think that, he's going to be re-energized to a certain extent. So I do think that we'll get a better D-Hop than we've gotten over in Tennessee this year. Like, if you're a fantasy manager or something. Overall, though, I feel like this team, they've kind of found their identity. They're able to run the ball pretty well behind a decent offensive line. They just want to kind of play ball control offense and not really give the other team a lot of opportunities. And on those few opportunities the other team gets, the defense is able to lock them down. So I don't think that we're going to get D-Hop and now we're just going to be trying to throw the ball downfield a whole lot. I think it's going to be a lot of the same, just with a better wide receiver in there. Probably not going to have to worry about seeing Sky Moore on the field anymore. So that's a plus for, Chiefs fans. But overall, I don't think this is like a major, major trade that puts us over the edge. But I think it's probably it's good for us because the lesser wide receivers on our roster just are going to touch the field less, which is always good.
Yeah, I as a Chiefs hater, I didn't really have any opinion on this. It didn't scare me or anything like that.
Yeah,
exactly. I think if this is the only move they make, I'd be pretty happy as someone who does not want them to do well, just because I think there were more impactful guys out there available. And like Cooper Kupp, for example, absolute nightmare scenario for me. I think he would have been really, really good for this offense. And it would have cost them a little bit more, but that would have honestly scared the hell out of me. I think they probably have some problem with the money because I believe Cup's owed more beyond just this year. So that's probably where they hit a snag. But yeah, he only went for a 5th-round pick for a reason. So I don't see him as much more of an upgrade than Juju. He's kind of replacing him for the time being. Once they're both back, we'll see. Maybe it makes a difference. But anyway, I like the Raiders here too, plus 10. For all the reasons you laid out, this Chiefs offense just isn't very good. 10 points is a whole lot to lay, especially on the road against a team, like you said, that will be highly, highly motivated to at least show competitive here against the Chiefs. For the same reason, I'd probably lean under. I mean, we've been hammering these Chiefs unders, and they've been working for us. So 41.5 still pretty high, in my opinion, for a game that projects to be pretty low scoring. I think it's just really what you think about the Chiefs offense. If you think they're going to roll right through the Raiders, maybe you don't want to look there. But if you think they will look a little more like they have for most of the season than they did against the San Francisco 49ers, then you might want to look to the under, because I don't think the Gardner Minshew is going to carry much of this total here, even if the Raiders do cover. It's, you know, I think that's, if the Raiders cover, it's good because this game is 21-14 or something like that. You know, it's not going to be a high scoring affair. Bears at Commanders, our next game here. Bears 2.5 point road favorites, over under of 43. Washington so far this year has scored points on 64.1% of their drives, by far the highest percentage in the league. Second place, for reference, the Ravens at 50.7%. Really, really impressive stuff. Obviously, that was with their rookie phenom, Jaden Daniels, in. Looks like it's going to be Mariota for this one, so who knows whether that will translate at all. But, Cody, I'll throw this one to you. I got to be honest, I don't have much of a lean here.
Gosh, I am looking through my bets this week, and I love some favorites this week. I love the Bears -2.5 right now. I guess Jaden Daniels is still technically questionable. If he gets ruled out and this moves over 3, I'm probably off of it, but I would take it right now at -2.5. Commanders are 5-1-1 against the spread to start the season. That's their best start since going 5-2 against the spread in 2018. So like Nick pointed out, obviously scoring a lot of points is going to help you at ATS. But yeah, I think, you know, if Jaden Daniels gets ruled out, there's going to be a lot of public money that comes in on the Bears side of this number, probably ticks it up to 3 or 3.5. And then at that point, I'm not as interested, but I've already sprinkled a little bit on Bears -1.5. And then as long as it stays below 3, I think it'll be in my 5. I just, you know, Commanders defense, you know, they're not good. They haven't been basically destroyed, you know, the past couple of weeks since the Ravens game, but they're not that good. And, you know, the Bears defense it's the best part of that team overall. So if I get Mariota against, you know, a top 5 defense in the NFL, I just have to take that defense to shut them down. And then I do think that Caleb Williams, coming off the bye, he was settling in the past few games before the bye. I think the bye will be good for him as well. And I think that Bears -2.5 would, if we were locking them in today, it's for sure in my 5.
Yeah, the Commanders defense, very similar to the Eagles and the Bengals from earlier in our show. You know, they played pretty well the past couple weeks, but it's chicken or the egg thing. You know, that they played the Carolina Panthers, they played well, got lit up by the Ravens, played the Browns well. Some similar teams showing up on these lists over and over with these struggling defenses playing better recently. And then they did have a good showing on the road against Arizona. They've been up and down this year too, though. I don't know how impressive that is. So, I'm not scared of this Commanders defense. I think my cap on this is, why is this only 2.5 for the Bears? This is people still expecting Jaden to play. Like, this has to be that, because if it's Mariota, this should be 6. I mean, are you kidding me? The Bears have the far superior defense and probably the better offense at that point, with you know, Williams and all his weapons healthy. So, yeah, I would be smashing Bears 2.5 if Jaden gets ruled out. I don't know. I need to look more into this. This is just confusing to me why it's so short right now. I'd expect this to be a lot higher. I guess there's just more optimism than I expected that Jaden will actually suit up. So obviously that changes a lot if that ends up happening. But my sweet prince, get healthy. Just sit this game out. You don't need to be out there against this Bears defense getting hit up with bad ribs.
I agree.
Okay, yeah. Just take a week, man. It's all good. No worries, man. Cowboys at Niners, Sunday night football. 49ers 4-point home favorites here, over under 46.5. Dak 18-6 against the spread on extended rest in season in his career. So that'd be byes and, you know, Thursday night games into Sunday games, that sort of thing. 6-0 in his last 6 as well. So he's really done well in this spot recently and throughout his career. Brock Purdy, not so good in this spot. 10-13 against the spread as a favorite of 4 or more so far in his career. Oh, man. Interesting. It would take a whole lot of cojones to take Dallas plus +4 when they have just been routinely clowned by this Niners team the past 4 or 5 years. But I think that's the right side here. I've already given out plenty of games I like more than this one. So there's no way it ends up in my five. But I would caution any of you seeing a short number for the Niners against the Cowboys and thinking you should bet it. That's probably not the right move here. I think there's a lot of sharp momentum coming in on the Cowboys.
Yeah, this is one of those few games I had this week where there's so many other games that I like better that I can't find a way to put any side of this game in my five.
Yeah, no.
I really don't have much to say about it. It should be a fun, entertaining game for Sunday Night Football, but outside of that, I don't think that I'm going to have, you know, any action on it unless I have a good Sunday and end up putting something on the under. Besides that, probably staying away from it completely.
Yeah, Niners probably missing a large portion of their usual playmakers. Debo in the hospital with pneumonia right now, so I see a very, very long shot that he suits up this weekend. Ayuk obviously done for the year with the ACL. Juwan Jennings questionable. Christian McCaffrey still not back, so it'll be tough sledding for them on offense. They have a very talented play caller and a good quarterback, so we'll see if they can figure it out. But they are fighting an uphill battle, and this Dallas team just isn't that good. So it's tough for me to only lay only getting 4 on the road in San Francisco, even with all those problems for the Niners. I just can't get there with Dallas, even though that's the side I'd want to be on. Monday night football, Giants at Steelers. Steelers 6.5-point home favorites here, over under 36.5. I don't know what the implied total is off the top of my head for the Giants, but that has got to be so low. Holy crap. I'll look it up in a second, but a couple stats for you. These are pretty awesome. Dating back to 1992, the Steelers are 21-1 straight up in home Monday night football games. Their only loss, 11-0 Steelers against the 4-7 Commanders in 2020. Pretty funny stuff. That's probably one of the bigger spreads they had in all those games as well. Jets and Giants, however, combined 4-32 straight up playing at night in primetime since 2019. The New York teams have struggled mightily, to say the least, in primetime.
4-32?
4-32, brother, straight up playing at night in primetime since 2019. Incredible stuff. Absolutely putrid. That is more years than wins since 2019 for Jets and Giants. Ridiculous. There's no way I'm laying 6.5 with this Steelers team against the Giants defense. That's pretty underrated. They have a really, really good pass rush, and their secondary is okay, probably below average, but I'm not sure I'm going to bet on Russ repeating his performance from last week necessarily. But taking the Giants on the road here is just, that takes some sort of cojones. I'm not sure I have. Cody, what do you think here?
Yeah, if I was going to play a side in this game, it's going to be Giants getting the points and just fading a Mike Tomlin team as a big favorite. But, God, they looked terrible against the Eagles last week. And I don't know if between Sunday and Monday if they're going to be able to fix any of their offensive line issues. And this Steelers pass rush could just tear them up again. So, I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to take a side, it'd be Giants plus 6.5. But again, another one of those games where I have 6-7 bets out there that I'm deciding between. You know, the Giants would be outside of those 6 or 7. So staying away from it, but don't mind it. Also, if you want to be nasty, under 36.5, it's under that magical number of 37. So
yeah.
if you want to take that under, I don't mind that. But neither of those options are going to be in my five bets. May put a little bit on there a little bit out there on Monday, just to close out hopefully a good week, but don't have a strong lean for this game for the five.
Yeah, if you have a book that offers over-unders on sack totals for a game, I'd probably be hammering the over here, even though this is probably going to be a pretty high one, because they're two of the better D-lines in the league and two of the not good pass blocking O-lines and two quarterbacks that like to take a lot of sacks as well in Russ and Daniel Jones. So that can be both good and bad for unders, you know, it stalls drives, but also leads to turnovers. So that would be the only reason I'd be scared off that under. So, but yeah, from a football perspective, it profiles as certainly a very low scoring game. It'd have to be Giants plus 6.5 or nothing, but I am really tempted. There's 83% of tickets and 84% of money on the Steelers, and this opened at 6.5 has not budged one bit.
Yeah.
it tells me that the books just like this 6.5 number and think the Giants are probably going to keep this closer than a lot of people think. So I think I might get there by Monday, but like I said, it's probably not going to be in my five.
Yeah, this is a spot where the books clean up. The Steelers looked great. You know, Russell Wilson came in. Their offense actually had some pop in it. Everyone just saw the Giants get blown out, not even able to move the ball or get first downs against the Eagles. So it's a spot where everyone in the public, Joe Public's all over the Steelers. And for some reason, somehow, the books are going to come clean up on Monday night, and Giants plus 6.5 is going to cash. It's going to be gross. I don't know how it's going to happen, but that's just the way that betting works sometimes. So, I think it's the right spot to play. It's just when I'm giving out my five picks, I just, from a football perspective, I can't make the argument outside of just this is where Vegas cleans up. So if you want to be on the side of Vegas, I would take the plus 6.5. But if you will go back and watch the go watch these football teams, you would be thinking I'm crazy thinking I want to take the Giants in any spot this year.
Yeah, I always get very scared laying an exact 6.5 number, especially when that number's been there all week, because that is just a perfect teaser leg, and Vegas absolutely knows that. There will be a lot of teasers relying on the Pittsburgh Steelers to just win this ball game coming into Monday night, and I think Vegas likes that position. Essentially, they think the Giants have a better chance to win this game than most people realize. So plus 6.5, maybe not a bad look, but I agree with you. I think it'd be on the outskirts of the bets that I'm looking at right now. Do you have anything else for us, Codes, or do we want
to? No, I'll list some bets here that I like, and then we can get out of here. But yeah. Cincy, -1.5, -2, depending on your sports book. Love that line. Uh-huh. We like the Baltimore-Cleveland over 44.5. A little bit nasty there, taking an AFC North over. But again, our overs, like Nick pointed out, 63.3. Like, so we don't take them often, but when we do, there's usually a good reason behind it. Falcons -2.5, Raiders +10, Bears -2.5. And then I wrote it down. I'm going to do some research on it. This Giants +6.5 line is just too fishy for me not to do a little bit more research. Yeah, we're talking ourselves into
that one. God damn it.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to do some more research. You're right. I mean, there's just so many things that tell you to bet the Giants there besides the actual football that's played on the field, which is probably the most annoying part about betting, is everything on the field tells you to take the Steelers. Everything Vegas is doing is telling you to take the Giants. So, it's a tough one. I'm just going to have to do a little bit more research into it and see if I can talk myself into it. But we did a good job of talking ourselves into it on this podcast, for sure.
Couple extras. I overlap with Cody on a couple of those. That Cincy bet, the over, he mentioned Baltimore-Cleveland, 44.5, and then the Raiders +10. A few more here I like. Detroit -11.5. Don't mind laying the big price with an offense this good. We have Indy +5. A little wishy-washy on that number now. I wish I was at 6. We'll see if it ticks back up. Buffalo -3. Like that one. And then Denver. Grab them in the first half. -6 against the Panthers. It's been a cash cow for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then like you, I actually do want to pull out a couple of those like that. Eagles under first quarter points. Like Nick said, they haven't scored a touchdown in however many games. At the halftime of the Baltimore-Cleveland game, take Cleveland plus the points. Baltimore gives up the most points in the second half. And then the one Nick pointed out last week, Chargers, if they have a lead at the end of the first half, take the other team plus the points for the second half. Just some little trends there to hopefully pad the bankroll that have been hitting pretty consistently for us. So those are also just good ones to keep in mind as you are going on Sunday and hopefully bringing home some winners. But Nick, let's get out of here. We kept this at just about an hour for the people, so we can bounce out, and we will record either Friday night, Saturday morning, get that thing posted on Saturday for you guys. And like I said, hopefully keep the winning weeks coming. Hopefully we can continue to put out some 3-2, 4-1. Maybe one of us can even sneak out a 5-0 week here in these next couple of weeks and bolster that record a little bit. All righty, Nick. I'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Peace.